This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. We are asking you, what teams do you look out for? This is because I support Newcastle, Johnny supports Spurs, but there are teams we like to keep an eye on.
Yes.
See they're doing all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like to make sure my hometown Shrewsbury's doing all right.
Yep.
Johnny Borough, posh boy.
Yeah.
He's messaged saying he keeps an eye on Fulham, Brighton, Newcastle, Blackburn and Köln. This is all teams he has attained world dominance with on Football Manager. So he keeps an eye on all of them.
Right, okay. By the way, posh boy, when you come back later on, games with Laurie... I had a little setback yesterday.
I got the point.
You got the point.
I did.
You got the point.
I did.
But posh boy, you're going down, son.
We've also had a message from Jim. Jim has messaged saying Rangers are his team. Airdrie is his home team.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Newcastle, so he keeps an eye on Newcastle and Gateshead, which are his adopted home teams, where he lives now. And he also keeps an eye on Celtic to make sure they get beat.
Yeah, that's funny with that. I could be bothered to keep it. I suppose I do.
However, we say that. But Steve in the office,
yeah.
I asked him, I said, who does he support?
Not Steve Bruce.
I support Newcastle, mate. Like, no, you don't, mate.
No,
shut up.
Don't.
Steve in the office, he supports Brentford.
Yes.
And I said, do you have any teams you keep an eye on? And he goes, no, I don't. I don't believe anybody should have a second team.
There we are.
However, he does keep an eye on ex-Brentford players on score sheets.
Right.
So that's what I'll do. So when he's watching the scores come in, he'll go, oh, you play for Brentford 7 games or something.
Yeah,
so
I said to you outside, didn't I? I said, do you keep an eye on ex-players?
See, that's what he does. But he also said he keeps an eye on QPR and Fulham to make sure they're losing.
When me and my mate Robbo, we used to play LMA Manager. Do you remember that?
No.
LMA Manager. No, you wouldn't. He was about six. And we used to play it. It was one of the first manager games.
Right.
And we were playing it at the time when Sol Campbell... traded and went to Arsenal, right? And so he was in Robbo's team. You know, obviously he was playing.
Yeah, yeah.
So immediately when he went to Arsenal, Robbo immediately took him out of his team, put him not even on the bench, and wouldn't sell him so that he just didn't play.
It's a win for him, isn't it? It's a win for Robbo.
He just kept him. People were coming in left, right, and centre for him. He wouldn't sell him.
Just kept him on the bench.
No, even on the bench.
Not even just no. in the reserve just somewhere. That's horrible, isn't it?
Brilliant.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
I did play FIFA's my era's game. FIFA.
That is your era.
That's our era. And I always go like two games back or a season behind because it's only £4 rather than 104 quid. I have much they are now. So I always go the season before.
Yeah.
And I played it so often once. Because I always go for Shrewsbury Town over Newcastle.
Yes. Yeah, because it's... Yeah, exciting. You could do something with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because Newcastle, were 9 times out of 10, are already in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Or the Championships. You only win one season, you go up.
Yeah, you want to take a team up.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd go for Shrewsbury, who are right down the bottom.
I always go Southend.
League 1 or League 2 and move them all the way up.
Right.
And I played it so often once. I won the Champions League and legitimately bored Johan Kabay and Hatem Ben Arfa for Shrewsbury Town.
But that's great. That's what it's all about. It's the fantasy of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
so we are asking you, what teams do you look out for? And it doesn't have to be football teams. It can be any sport that you like. Like, for example, in tennis, Roger Federer's my favourite.
Why?
He's my favourite.
You're my favourite.
He's my favourite. However, I do keep an eye on a lot of other tennis players.
Of course you do. Yeah.
But if you do want to tell us your team and who you keep an eye on, and also we're asking you, which reality show would you appear on?
Would you appear on? You can call us,
or you can WhatsApp us, or you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. But if you do WhatsApp us, please put your name on.
Yeah.
Make sure you stick your name on so we can shout you out as well.
That's a very old-fashioned thing to say. If you do write to us, don't forget to put your name on the...
Because there's nothing worse than reading that number going, oh, that's from Texter 446. Do you know what I mean?
Reading the
last three numbers and go, oh... Stick your name on, man.
Stick it on, man.
Stick your name on, man.
Howie, the lads.
Indeed.
I can't stop.
I've taught you this. I'm very pleased.
Howie.
It is good. It just means come on. It feels good, doesn't it?
It does.
It feels very good.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, after this, we're going to be chatting with Nick Masheter, who is the Midlands football writer. You are still listening to the Belt and Spurling show. I'm very pleased to say that we have on the line Nick Masheter from Midlands football writer. A very good morning to you, Nick.
Hiya, how you doing?
Yes, really well, Nick. How are you, my friend?
All right, thank you.
Fabulous, fabulous. Now, let's talk about Wolves-Manchester United and their 1-1 draw. Did Wolves suffer fatigue after that European trip in the first half?
No, not so much. I think you just got to give credit for Manchester United looking like Manchester United again for the first 45 minutes, I think. You know, they played very well. They pressed high. They scored a very good goal. And Wolves weren't necessarily at it, but I think it was more down to United playing well than Wolves sort of fatigue or Wolves playing badly.
Yeah, but are the strains on the squad going to get worse, do you think? I mean, they're back in the Europa League action again on Thursday.
Yeah, they are. They're off to Turin to play Torino. Yeah, I mean, you'd arguably say yes. Obviously, they've got to get past Torino over two legs to reach the group stages. So, you know, the conversation might be over kind of sort of come Thursday, next Thursday night when they play the second leg. Mm. So, you know, we'd have to wait and see. But yeah, look, I think I said before, Nuno likes to work with a small squad. It is a calculated gamble, and people in the club realise that it is. And they'd have January to sort it out should they get through the group stages, should they make them. Yeah, like it's one you just have to wait and see. I think with that early in the season, I don't think we can make judgments just yet.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's so difficult to make these judgments so early in the season, aren't they? You're absolutely right. Ruben Neves got the equaliser yesterday. Are you surprised that a bigger team didn't try and sign him after last season?
Yeah, absolutely sensational goal. I think, you know, there was a few moments as VAR checked it, which kept the Wolves fans a little bit nervous, and it would have been a travesty if it had been ruled out. It was absolutely wonderful strike. Yes and no. I think as good as Neves has done for Wolves, he has to recognise that, you know. They've done well out of him as well, so I think it's a mutually beneficial arrangement at the minute. And if they continue their upward trajectory, and you know, so for instance, if they crack the top six and win a cup, have another good cup run, then why would he leave necessarily? Given that he's sort of one of the main men that would be a top Premier League club. So yes and no. I think if he's a fantastic player, and Wolves are incredibly lucky to have him. But I think it would cost an awful lot of money to get him away from Molineux.
Wolves be happy with two draws from their opening two games. I mean, Leicester and Man United aren't exactly bad teams. I mean, who are they be concerned they haven't been clinical going forward, do you think?
Maybe. They could. You know, last season, arguably they would have beaten Leicester 1-0, because there wasn't any VAR and Leander Dendonca's goal would have stood, and they could have easily lost last night had Pogba not missed the penalty or Patricio saved his penalty. So look, they could be sitting on 3 points having lost the game rather than being unbeaten. So swings and roundabouts. Clinical wise, they didn't create an awful lot of chances last night. Raul Jimenez hit the post just before Neves' goal. And it was slightly unfortunate to see it sort of hit the post and hit De Gea and bounce out rather than go in. So, I think it's more to do with creating chances rather than putting them away at the minute, because they haven't created an awful lot over the first couple of Premier League games, but of course they've been fairly clinical in Europe at the minute.
What do you think about the debate with Adama Traore? Sorry, let me put my teeth in. Adama Traore, the debate. Is he best used as a wing-back for Wolves? And will he ever be a starter, do you think?
Yeah, it's such a big thing. He's been in this country for a good number of years now. Obviously, he came over with Aston Villa, went to Middlesbrough and then came to Wolves last year. I'd still like to see an awful lot more end product from him. He only scored one goal last season off the top of my head, and I think maybe only got one assist, but I'd have to double check. The end product from Traore is still not there. And for all his pace and his mazy runs and getting into good positions, you need to see some productivity for him. I think he's improved. Saw him at Aston Villa when he would get into these positions and routinely shank the cross into Rosette. So he's not quite the headless chicken that arrived in England. There's still a lot of improvement to go. They have been training him as a wing back because that's the sort of the formation Nuno likes to use. Defensively, I'm not too sure about it, but he hasn't had an awful lot of defending to do and an awful lot of practice to do in that position just yet. So we'll have to wait and see. But going forward, I think is one where he's a major threat, but it's still a bit of an Achilles heel almost for him where he doesn't produce enough.
Finally, look, Wolves of Torino on Thursday and Burnley on Sunday. What's your predictions?
Well, I'd just say I actually got last night's right, so I'm quite pleased with that. but for a Diego Jota's wonderful overhead kick, I would have had 3-0 last week as well. Mm. Torino's completely different to Punic in the Europa League. I think if Wolves can come away with a draw from there, I think they'd be very happy. Mm.
Lost you there, Nick.
Sorry, Nick.
If they can come away with a draw, I think they'd be very happy. So I will try and be moderately positive and say 1-1 on Thursday and see them beat Burnley 2-0 Sunday.
Nick, just before you go, very, very quickly, who do you support?
I'm a Norwich fan.
You're a Norwich fan? Well, get rid of him right now. I'm a Newcastle fan, Nick. So, but we're asking you, we're asking everybody, who you support and who are the teams that you keep an eye on. So I'm a Newcastle fan, and I like to keep an eye on Shrewsbury Town, my hometown, and Rangers, my granddad's team. Are there any teams you'd like to keep an eye on?
It's handy. I keep an eye on Leicester because I went to university there.
There we are.
Obviously, I see them most weeks anyway.
Nick, thank you very, very much indeed for coming on to the Bell and Sperling Show. That's Nick Masheter, Midlands football writer, PA. You are listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
And very much plus the cow.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Which reality show would you appear on? Mm. What reality show would you go on?
Okay, let me just think. I've thought about it. I wouldn't go on any of them. None of them. You want Strictly, you go on Strictly.
I have done Britain's Got Talent, though.
I suppose I'd do Britain's Got...
But you'd not do X Factor, you're a singer.
No.
Why not?
Oh, God, no.
Why not?
Just couldn't think of anything worse.
Why?
And that is the question. Ever since those programmes of Pop Idol, when that first started, if you're a singer, what you got on Pop Idol? What you do Pop Idol? What do you do X Factor? Why don't you shut up?
Well, I just did a
not
panto.
You, not you.
I just did a panto with Christopher Maloney. He came third.
He did.
He's out in Ibiza at the moment, singing out there.
Yeah, no, they do. But it's a lottery ticket. And even if you could have the right face, you know, it's not all about the singing. I've seen really good singers be rejected.
Well, they're not looking for good singers. They're looking for the X Factor, which is the whole package.
Is it a whole package?
Yeah. Not just whether you're a good singer or not.
Well, I've even got a package. Unfortunately.
Don't think you got the full package.
I don't think I've got the full package. I think I'm half a package short.
Really? Have you seen this other reality show, which is Celebs on the Farm? It's ridiculous.
I have heard about it.
It's ridiculous.
Isn't that with that, what's his name, from the dance group? What are they called? Diversity.
No, it's not. No, it's with the guy, Steve.
One of the singers.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not, because he also does something on the farm.
Does he?
Oh, hang on a minute, no. Who am I talking... No, from the other one. It's the other one, the singers. The group from the X Factor. What were they called? You know, no, the other lot.
I don't know.
There's only two. The other lot. The
JLS.
JLS.
Right.
I think he does it.
Does it? No, it's Stephen Bailey. He's a comedian. He hosts it.
But I think he does it as well. What's his name from JLS?
Oh, right, OK.
JLS.
It doesn't look rubbish, though.
Was you a fan of JLS?
No.
No.
Thought they were terrible.
Oh.
Wasn't interested in the slightest.
Shocking.
Thought they were rubbish.
Just like Westlife and Boyzone.
I like Boyzone.
I never could stand
love
any of
Boyzone.
Them. Did you really?
Yeah, I love them. Ronan Keating.
Ronan.
One of my first impressions was singing Boyzone. So I do Stephen Gately going, no matter what they tell us. And then I go to... That's exactly it. And then I'd move over to Ronan Keaton. And I go for Ronan. No matter what they call us, how very good. They attack.
Oh, baby. No, Boyzone, and especially Westlife.
You raise me up. Or something on
that. Get off the stools.
Yes, they would. Air grab. It's great.
Air grab.
A little air grab. They used to like... Oh, a boy band loves an air grab. It does. Indeed.
You're from the boy band era, though, aren't you?
I am indeed. Well, let's talk about Alexis Sanchez potentially moving to Inter Milan. Who knows? I'll tell you who might know is our next guest, Adam Digby. I'm very pleased to say that we do have Adam Digby on the line. Adam Digby, who is an Italian football expert. A very good morning to you, Adam.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Adam. How are you? Friend of the show. Friend of the show, Adam, aren't you?
Absolutely. Who wouldn't be?
A little bit of hesitation there. Do you hear that? That's what I like. Now, Adam, Alexis Sanchez is heavily linked with a loan switch to Inter Milan. Is this one going to happen?
It seems as though it is, yeah. The two clubs seem to be very much down to the detail. According to reports in Italy, it's going to be a loan for nothing for this season coming. And then a 12 to 15 million agreed fee for it to be made permanent next summer.
Yeah, look, we've already seen Lukaku, whichever you like, Lukaku go to Inter Milan from United this year. I mean, could Lukaku have had any influence in this signing? I mean, or does that sort of thing not happen in Italy?
I think he's probably had a little bit. I imagine that somebody at Inter would have spoken to Lukaku about Sanchez and his mindset and what he thinks of him. I'm not convinced that he would have had a massive influence, but I'm sure he's been consulted of it, definitely, yeah.
I mean, Icardi's future continues to attract speculation as well. Why has he not been involved in either deal?
It doesn't seem like Manchester United want him, to be honest. It just seems as if, at the moment, it seems like nobody does.
Somebody else who was linked with United as well is Dybala. I mean, he scored an unbelievable goal the other day, didn't he? I mean, is he still leaving?
It looks very much like Juventus would like him to, but he doesn't seem to want to. He did score a great goal, but I think we have to remember it was against a third division team. And I think the other major takeaway from that, for me at least, is that Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't playing. Paulo Dybala really struggled to play alongside Cristiano Ronaldo last season. And his best performances came with Ronaldo out of the team.
Why do you think that is, though, Adam? Why do you think that is?
I think they both like to be in the same... They both want to be a striker, but then they want to be able to wander around the pitch and find the spaces too. And that's okay with one player, but you can't have two players not playing as a striker but being a striker. I think that's why somebody like Mario Mandzukic became so important to Juve last season, because he's quite happy to just actually be a striker. And if it comes down to a choice between you and Cristiano Ronaldo, who's been paying four times more than anybody else at the club, there's only going to be one winner, isn't there?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I mean, and if you think about the size of Champions League squads, is that something that's putting pressure on teams to get rid of players?
It really is, and increasingly so at Juventus, where Maurizio Sarri did an interview last week, and he basically said that... a lot of these players need to take a look at what's actually going on, because at the moment Juve have got six senior players who they can't name in their Champions League squad. So for all that these players might not want to leave, if they do stay, they're not going to be able to play football, particularly at the highest level.
Llorente's still a free agent after leaving Tottenham. Are Napoli now favourites to sign him, or is that another one that depends on where Icardi ends up?
Probably not even just Icardi. I think Napoli are really in a position where they'd like to sign an expensive striker to be their marquee signing of the summer. But if they don't, it seems that they're holding on to Llorente as a fallback to be a backup to Milik, who they already have. And Llorente's got plenty of other offers too. I know Fiorentina are very interested in signing him. And it seems as if he's putting them on hold in case he can go to Napoli and play in the Champions League. Which again is a difficult one to look at and to understand. He would have a chance to go and play straight away at. at Fiorentina, and he's waiting to be a sub at Napoli. But I suppose we've kind of seen that with him before when he was at Swansea, and then he went to sit on the bench at Chelsea and then Tottenham, haven't we?
I mean, Adam, it's been quite an unusual summer for Italian football, isn't it? And because I mean, imagine it's really, really exciting for you because, I mean, so many top players have been linked with moves this season. We've got Dybala, Icardi, Dzeko, Mandzukic. Is this just, is it always this crazy?
Italy's always crazy, yeah. I think the transfer market's not usually this crazy. I mean, we suppose we're at a state where we're talking about levels of craziness, which says it all about Serie A. But I think it's been more than usual because of so many deals like Ibala, like Icardi, like Llorente, and like Lukaku as well, where it was, is he going to go here or is he going to go there? And just waiting and waiting and waiting for somebody to make a decision. And some of them, like Edin Dzeko, have decided to stay where they are. Some, like Dybala, are digging their heels in. And some, like Mauro Icardi, for some reason, just seem to have no suitors, which is crazy to me because when you put aside all the off-field nonsense, he's a fantastic player who'd be an asset for anybody, really.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And can I get your prediction as well? Which Italian club is going to get the furthest in Europe this season, do you think?
Probably whichever team drops out of the Champions League and into the Europa League. I think probably I would still stick with Juve. I think it's hard to see beyond the sheer depth of talent that Juve have got, and then you add Ronaldo to that, and we've already seen with Maurizio Sarri at Chelsea that he can win in Europe and be successful. I think they'll probably enjoy greater success in Europe where they've got one game to prepare for than they maybe will in the league where maybe Sarri's not proven that he can compete week in, week out in the league, but probably Antonio Conte at Inter will. So I think it's probably Juve in Europe. I think they just have the pedigree and the depth of talent just to make it difficult to look beyond them.
Yeah, are you saying that Juve are going to win the league as well then?
I think that will very much depend on Inter. I think you look at what's happened at Inter Milan this past summer, and I think they look like a team who are either going to finish first and steamroll everybody, or they're going to finish sixth, and Antonio Conte won't be there at Christmas.
Adam, listen, before we go, listen, what team do you support?
Juventus.
Well, you support Juventus. Is there a team that you've got, like, as you know, one that you follow just on the side?
Am I allowed to admit stuff like this?
Yes, of course you are.
Of course, I'll let you know, Adam. I'll be honest with you. Right? I support Newcastle United, right? Yeah. But I keep an eye on Shrewsbury Town, which is my hometown.
Oh, yeah.
And I also keep an eye on Glasgow Rangers, because that was my granddad's team. All right, so there you go. That's what we've made.
I have strong family ties to Fiorentina, so I watch Fiorentina quite a bit as well.
Right.
Go see them quite a bit, and then occasionally when I'm in England, go to watch Stockport County as well.
Oh, fabulous! Oh,
that's
lovely. Stuff.
That's lovely.
Do you know what? I didn't expect that, Adam.
No,
I did not expect that.
Neither did I.
Adam, thank you very much indeed for coming on to the Bell and Sperling show. That's Adam Digby, there, who's the Italian football expert here for Love Sport
thank
Radio.
Thank you very much, Adam.
You are listening to the Bell and Sperling show, minus the bell.
Very much, plus the cow.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Bell and Sperling show, minus the bell.
And very much plus the cow.
We are here until 2 p.m. Parliament may still be in recess, Johnny. But
yes.
Things are getting spicy in politics.
Yes, oh, they definitely are. And joining us, we have a friend of the show, John Rentall, chief political commentator for The Independent. Ah, John, how are you, my friend?
Hello there. It's recess, but I'm in Westminster, and it is buzzing a little bit.
Is it really?
Oh,
but it is.
Low level.
Have you been? You been all right?
Yes, thanks. No, I mean policy. I mean, we're in the middle of the biggest constitutional crisis.
Wow.
British political history. So, it doesn't really matter whether Parliament's sitting or not. I mean, it goes on. I mean, Boris Johnson's writing letters to Donald Tusk, and he's off to see Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron, and even Donald Trump, I believe, next weekend.
Well, John, it's Cal here, filling in for Martin Bell. Let me ask you, first of all, we have heard Boris criticised the backstop again today. Surely he knows he can't do anything about it. He's probably just sat there going, what am I going to do?
That's quite a good impression.
Well, that's what he does. That's what he does, Johnny. He's an impersonator. You should hear his Donald Trump. It's fantastic.
But what's it, I'm sure it is. But what's interesting about Boris Johnson's letter actually is it's not written in sort of Latin aphorisms and sort of incomplete sentences. It's not written like he talks. It's obviously been drafted for him by a civil service, and it's actually quite a cogent argument. I mean, whether it's going to have any effect is another question. I mean, Donald Tusk's already in effect called him a liar in reply. But I mean, that is the Boris Johnson tactic. He's going to throw everything at leaving without a deal, in the hope that the EU will offer us some kind of concession at the last moment.
Look, let's talk about no deal. On politics pages of newspaper websites, the words no deal are in every other headline. I mean, that would have been unheard of a few years ago, wouldn't it?
Well, it's always been an option, hasn't it? I mean, the point is often made that you can't have a negotiation unless you're prepared to walk away. But I mean, that's the whole Boris Johnson strategy. I mean, he felt that Theresa May wasn't really prepared to threaten to walk away, and therefore wasn't going to get the best possible deal. I mean, actually, I thought the deal she got was a very good one, but Parliament didn't like it. And, whatever your view of that and whoever you blame for that, it's a simple fact. And the question is, it can either side change anything that will make a deal that can get through Parliament? And I just don't know the answer to that. So I think a no-deal exit is quite likely.
Well, with that in mind, do you think no deal is now on Boris Johnson's cabinet preferred option, so to speak? Because, Michael Gove is essentially the minister for no deal, isn't he?
Well, this is Michael Gove who said that no deal would be a really bad outcome. Boris Johnson has rewarded him for that by putting him in charge of preparing for it. I believe Boris Johnson when he says he'd rather have a deal. But, I mean, it's got to be a deal on his terms. I just don't think the EU is in any mood to just sort of roll over and give him that. So, yeah, I think a no-deal exit is probably the most likely outcome at the moment.
Yeah, there have been suggestions of a no-confidence vote and a caretaker prime minister to deliver Brexit. I mean, is that a likely thing, do you think?
Well, no, not to, it's to stop a no-deal Brexit. That's the whole point of a caretaker prime minister. But is that likely? It's one of the possibilities. We're still stuck on this three-pronged fork. I mean, we could either leave with a deal or without a deal, or we could not leave at all. We could postpone it all again.
Yeah.
And that's what that's the point of knocking out Boris Johnson and putting in a caretaker prime minister, is to get the caretaker to postpone a deal and then postpone Brexit and then hold a general election. I mean, that is one of the possibilities. But I mean, so far the opposition parties have just been squabbling amongst themselves, and if they can't agree on a caretaker prime minister to take over, then it's not going to happen.
I mean, do you think Corbyn is unaware that people won't trust him? I mean, Jo Swinson is surely the more credible candidate against no deal now, though, isn't she?
Does Jeremy Corbyn... How aware is Jeremy Corbyn of his own failings? I mean, that is a question you could ask of any politician, isn't it? I mean, they're just not very good at understanding quite how unpopular they might be. And in, in Jeremy Corbyn's case, he's liable to the delusion that because he came from 20 points behind in the last election campaign and nearly snatched it from Theresa May,
but still lost.
He thinks he's much more popular than the opinion polls suggest, and he thinks that once people get to know him and once they see him and the media are forced to sort of give him fairer coverage and all that nonsense, I mean, he thinks he'll do well. But I mean, I just don't think that's right. And the point about a caretaker prime minister scenario is he's got to win a broad alliance in the House of Commons, and that's really not his strong point. I mean, it's got to be somebody like Kenneth Clark or Harriet Harman. I mean, it's got to be a sort of above politics figure, someone who's plainly just a sort of temporary person without any party interest in the outcome. who could step in and sort out a no-deal Brexit.
And the elephant in the room, a snap election. I mean, will it happen in the autumn? And what will it mean for Brexit? What would the turnout be like, do you think?
Those are the questions to ask. I don't think that is Boris Johnson's sort of plan A, but I mean, I think it's certainly his plan B or C. I mean, he's certainly got it up there, and he's certainly preparing to fight an election because, I mean, that's you know what he's got to do anyway, because he has to try and see off the threat from the Brexit Party, and so he's going hell for leather for a No Deal Brexit. If he gets stopped by Parliament from doing that, then obviously the only choice is a general election, and he'd go to the people on a sort of Parliament versus the people ticket, saying that I'm standing up for what you people voted for in the referendum. Give me the mandate to finish the job. But I think, you know, no Prime Minister really wants to go for a general election before they have to.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Otherwise, it also throws that spanner into the works where the general public are going to sit there and go, see, none of them know what they're doing. It's just election after election after election, isn't it?
Well, exactly. I think there is that. Although, I mean, to be fair to Boris Johnson, he's very clear about what he wants. He's got a good sort of populist pitch to the electorate. You know, he's just prepared to do the one thing that they voted to do 3 years ago. So he'd have a very simple message in that election campaign. But, I mean, Theresa May tried that in 2017. It really didn't work for her.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, let's get a little bit more highbrow than we usually do. OK, the European Central Bank have suggested Germany is likely to head into a recession. Given the size of the economy, could that change Europe's stance last minute?
Well, it might do. I mean, it's certainly a big complicating factor, isn't it? I mean, certainly if Boris Johnson's thinking of going for an election, then the sort of prospect of, you know, recession in Germany could spread over here. I mean, goodness knows what's happening in America either. If we in the UK are heading for a recession, then that, you know, that does suggest that going for an election early would be better than putting it off until next year, certainly. So I think we're probably heading for an election. Maybe not before the end of October, but I mean, if Boris Johnson can succeed in getting us out without a deal or even with a last minute deal, then I think he'd probably go to the country very soon after that. But I mean, that would mean an election in December, which is unheard of, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
this haven't had one of those since 1923.
Really? Wow. 1923? Well, listen, it's all we're walking on new ground, aren't we, all the time? What will happen?
Yeah, that's true.
What's going to happen this autumn? I mean, will we leave? Will there be an election? Will Bojo survive? You know, what's going to happen?
Well, it's a mugs game, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I keep cycling between. I mean, we've got the three options. As I said, you know, we could leave with a deal, we could leave without a deal, or we can postpone again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I keep cycling between those three options. You know, one day one of them looks more likely. I mean, you know, today I think, you know, last-minute deal may be on the cards. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, Donald Tusk hasn't been very polite about Boris Johnson's letter. But, I mean,
no.
It's interesting that Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron haven't said anything before they see Boris. So, I mean, maybe they think there is something to talk about. But apart from that, I think, you know, a no-deal Brexit is the more likely of the three outcomes. But, I mean, I wouldn't...
There's a friend of mine, John...
I just don't want to be tied down on it.
John, there's a friend of mine, John, that's calling for a third referendum. And
yeah.
I said, are you not calling for a second? And he goes, well, no, I'm a Brexiteer and we'll probably lose the second one. So I guess I'm calling for the third.
Yeah, but, I mean, a referendum doesn't, you know, I mean, it doesn't solve the... Well, I mean, it might solve the question in a sense.
Yeah.
It might decide it. But, I mean, you know, what's the question? What would the question be? You know, which government is going to oversee it? You know, all the rest of it. I mean, you know, it just means endless. I mean, this Brexit argument is just not going to be settled quickly. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, whatever happens at the end of October, there'll still be arguments going on for years after that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's another story I wanted to talk to you about as well, which is my close personal friend, Donald. Danny is over there, is the president, and he has a plan to buy Greenland. Have you heard this? This is ridiculous, isn't it?
I think it was one of what Donald Trump calls a joke, but I mean, it's certainly got people going. I mean, somebody else is pointing out that the thing about Greenland is it looks huge on those sort of normal maps that you see, but actually, if you see it on a globe, it's actually not as it's not nearly as big as that. So someone ought to show Donald Trump a globe, and then he'll go off the idea.
I'm just going to paint it all gold and turn it into Trump land. It's going to be fantastic. Believe me.
John, thank you very, very much
indeed. Before John goes, John, are you a football fan?
No, I'm not. I'm an American football fan, but I've stopped watching because of the brain damage.
I understand. But who is your team that you supported?
The Philadelphia Eagles. Fantastic team.
Philadelphia Eagles. Ooh. There we are. Has there ever been a team that you just, because of where you come from, or that you just follow on the side? Do you know what I mean?
On the side?
Well, like a team
I used to support any team that was the more sort of northern Rust Belt working class was, the more I'd be likely to support it. I mean, the Chicago Bears, I like any team from the Rust Belt.
Gotcha. Lovely. John, pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Enjoy the mayhem that is the Brexit or no Brexit or Brexit exit. John Rentoul, there's chief political commentator for The Independent. Weird times, Carl.
It is a weird time.
You're listening to the Ben Spurling Show.
Minus the bell.
And pretty much plus Carl.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Bell and Spurling Show, but it's minus the bell.
And it's very much plus the cow.
We are here until 2 p.m. Very pleased to say that we've got Posh Boy Johnny Burrow in the studio. Welcome,
afternoon.
Johnny Burrow.
Posh Boy.
Before we start playing games with Laurie, I want to ask you, Posh Boy, how would you feel if
Donald said, I'm going to buy the UK, I'm going to buy England?
Would you mind that? Would you mind being another state of America?
Yeah, I would object pretty strongly to that suggestion.
Wig. So weak. Who is this guy? I'm not asking this guy. I'm telling this guy. I'm buying the UK, believe me. Why not?
Well, even beyond reservations about Donald Trump, which, with all due respect, Mr. President, I think are probably reasonable.
No. Nope.
You don't want to be a colony of somewhere. Surely.
What a turnaround that would be. We used to own them.
Yeah. We discovered them, didn't we?
We did. We discovered them. They're
I think
ours.
They were there already.
Yeah, but we discovered them.
We made them what they are.
Well.
What was it called before America? It was just land, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was
just land.
Right, producer Laurie's in the studio.
West was one. Have you seen that?
What does that mean? What time is it for?
It's time for Games with Laurie!
Hey, it is time for Games with Laurie. Producer Laurie... We have a bit of news for Posh Boy in that I went and scored a point yesterday, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Very well. Very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, Kieran Wellington came in for you.
Shocking.
He didn't do too bad.
He fundamentally let down.
He came second.
Came last, is what we're hearing.
Awful.
To be fair, he did do really well, Kieran. So.
Is what that shows us that Johnny Spurling needs the competition, the pressure that I put him under to actually perform?
You're probably right.
He's a big game player.
He is.
I am a big game player. Laurie, what have we got for us today?
Well, of course, we've been talking a lot about Greenland and Donald Trump wanting to buy Greenland. But we were also talking about how Greenland and Iceland were mixed up when they were named. So Greenland's actually not very green. And Iceland's got some lovely green stuff about. So what I thought we would do...
Okay.
Grass, as it's known over here. What I thought we would do is look at historical names of cities.
Okay.
Nice.
I'll give you the modern place and its hypothetical former name.
Okay.
Or its real former name.
Okay.
Right.
And then you tell me if it's true or not.
Sounds good. Cool. Are we going to start with Mr. Spurling as we do every?
How are the lads?
Seeing as you say that,
yeah.
Newcastle upon Tyne, we'll start with that.
Okay, ooh, here we
go. Place close to mine and Carl's heart.
Yeah.
However, did it used to be called Monkchester?
Ooh.
Monkchester.
It's a weird one.
Monkchester.
Sounds a lot like Manchester.
I don't actually know that.
You could get the Trans Pennine Express from Manchester
I'm
to Monkchester.
Straight in with a true.
I tell you what, I would say true, only because of Monkseaton, which is in the northeast.
Ah, see, well, that's the sort of logic. That's why I didn't give you it, because I thought you might think that, and it is true.
Ah, oh. You got it.
Back in the game.
He is. 1 point to Johnny Sperling.
Yes.
Here we go.
Can you give me an easy one like Istanbul, please?
I will do when it's your turn, Johnny, but it's not. So we're going to go to Cal next.
The nation's favourite. Here we go.
We always go clockwise.
Always Cal next.
My mum's like that. If you're like playing a board game at home, she's like, no, you can't go anti-clockwise. don't know why she cares so much, but she does.
Here we go.
London.
Yes.
Back in the day, it's where we're sitting now. Yes. What was London called? Londoninium.
Ah, see, I always thought it was Londinian, not Londoninium. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, if you just I could also be wrong.
Because I honestly thought it was called Londinian. But, it could be Londininian. I'm going to say true.
In some form, it is true, yes.
Yeah, I think I think Cal was right. As far as my memory, sir.
I'm sure he was.
Yes. So it is one apiece. So, Posh Boy, you need to get another score sheet here.
I feel bad for including that one. There's obviously some like really famous ones that I didn't include because people just know them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
New Amsterdam, obviously New York now. However,
here we go.
Johnny Posh Boy Burrow.
This isn't Istanbul, I'm walking out.
Buenos Aires.
Oh, is Istanbul on there?
It's not, no.
Oh, okay. Constantinople, bang.
It's a very hard word. If you can't spell it, you're a... Never mind.
Buenos Aires, capital of Argentina.
Yeah. Yes.
However, did it used to be called Valencia?
Ooh, Johnny Burrow.
Yeah, true.
That's false.
Oh, yes!
Oh, it was a Spanish colony, but, you know.
I'm going to give you a tally here, Laurie. I'm going to give you one. So it's currently Johnny Sperling 1, Cal Halbert 1, Posh Boy nothing, Laurie 1. There we go.
Is that just so he's losing even more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we
Johnny
go.
Sperling.
Oh, here we go.
Come on, Johnny.
Concentrate.
Constipating.
Montreal. It's in the Quebec region of Canada.
It certainly is.
Have you been?
I've never been. No.
Never? I told you you were constipated.
They speak half French and half English.
They do.
But did Montreal used to be called New Manchester?
Ooh. Johnny Sperling. New Manchester. Oh, God. I'm going to go...
Get the easy ones?
What do you mean it's easy?
You better get this right.
True.
That's false.
Oh!
How was that an easy one?
It was just so obviously not going to be called New Manchester.
I didn't think that. I was like, New Manchester, yeah.
Yeah, but when you think of anything that's new, it actually does sound weird. Like, before New York was a thing.
New York
actually is quite a weird word. Yeah.
City so nice they named it twice in New York.
Come on.
Well, let's go from one Canadian city to another then, and from one York to another. Did Toronto. It was called Toronto. Did Toronto used to be called York?
Toronto called York. Ah. No.
Is that very easy as well, is it, Pazbo?
No, that one's quite hard.
Yeah.
So it was just called York, not New York, just York.
Just York. So you would have gone from New York up to York. I don't know the history of that.
Okay. York. I'm going to say true.
That is true.
Well, oh, yes! I've been absolutely punished.
So, currently, Johnny Sperling 1, Cal Halbert 2, Posh Boy nothing but yet to have his go.
Game in hand.
And Laurie 2.
I don't need a tally. I don't live for that.
I want you to have one. I live for it.
Okay.
Here we go.
Let's see.
Ooh, come on, Johnny Burrow.
Brussels.
Mm.
Sprouts.
Did it used to be called, and this one sounds ridiculous.
Okay.
But did Brussels used to be called Van Damme?
As in Jean-Claude Van Damme.
They, of course, speak or a mixture of French and Flemish.
I know what I'd say.
False.
What would you say?
I'd say it's true.
Why? Would you say that's
just
true?
Just fancy it.
Clearly false.
Oh, get it. Posh Boy's on the
score sheet.
I threw
that in because I thought it was too rubbish to...
He's on the score sheet.
He saw through it.
I'm rubbish today, I'll tell you that much.
Well, there's pressure on you now, Johnny Sperling.
It certainly is.
And that pressure is going to come to you in the form of... Birmingham. Mm. Not Birmingham, Alabama. Birmingham...
Yeah.
Birmingham?
Midlands.
Yeah.
What is the... What's the...
Birmingham, West Midlands.
Yeah,
Birmingham?
But what's the county?
West Midlands. I'm guessing.
Aston.
I don't know. I'll find out while you ask this
question. Who plays...
What?
Who plays cricket at Edgbaston? Is that not...
Cricket.
That's in Birmingham.
It's whoever that is.
Yeah, it's West Midlands. Birmingham, West Midlands.
Okay.
West Midlands.
So I was right instantaneously.
Cricket's going to be flying in. Anyway, Birmingham, did it used to be called Halfden? I'll spell it H-A-L-F-D-E-N.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Halfden, true.
Oh, he's gone true.
It's wrong, mate.
Oh,
Sperling.
It's the Bell and Sperling show.
I'm having a right nightmare the last
You're
2 days.
You're having a bubble, aren't you?
All right, I'm having a right nightmare.
Muffed it.
Okay.
Is this for the win, Laurie?
I don't know, is it? You tell
me. It is.
You get four each, so there's another round.
Right, okay.
Which is worth 5,000 points, so technically
don't
nothing's going to win this round.
Don't get your hopes up too high, boy. I could catch up.
Yeah,
no, I can't actually, can I?
Well, you can equalise.
You can get 5,000 points.
You
can always win on the last round. That's
the
point.
Let's do it.
What's the point in the other rounds?
Barcelona.
Yep.
Did it used to be called?
Here we go.
Barcino.
Farsi?
Gotta be false.
True.
Oh, he's absolutely done you.
Oh, Barcino.
Really?
I'll pick up the Oscar later. Thank you, nominees.
Barcino.
Right, so hang on, I can level it at the top of the
you
leaderboard.
You can level
here.
It.
Oosh.
Okay. To go into the final round, level pegging with Cal, nation's favourite Halbert.
Thank you very much.
Johnny Poshboy Burrow.
Here we go. What is the...
Melbourne.
Ooh. Mm. Australia.
Yes, Melbourne, Australia.
Australia.
Did it used to be called Bear Brass? Bear Brass.
Bear brass.
Good old Bill.
False.
True.
Oh! Well done.
Odd one to make up that.
Bear brass.
That isn't odd, but I would have thought it'd be more Aboriginal, you see, rather than bear brass. Hmm, interesting.
Down at the bear brass.
Do you know you're Aboriginal, do you?
Well, I know Walker is Wagga.
Actually, I've got a good sporting fact about Aboriginals. The only Aussie rules football team in Australia to have any Aboriginal language in the name is the Geelong Cats, and that's just outside of Melbourne.
Oh, nice.
So there you go.
It's interesting. Very, very interesting.
And that's why...
Go on, Laurie.
Come for the sport, stay for the chat.
Come for the sport, stay for the chat.
Okay,
chat.
Yeah. Johnny Sperling for 5,000 points and to stay in the game.
Oh, so much pressure.
Plymouth.
Plymouth, right.
Down on the south coast there.
Yep, been there.
But back in the aristocratic days of England, did it used to be called Port Saint-Pierre?
I'm going straight in with true.
No,
I'm going
not.
Straight back with false.
Oh, I'm out again.
Here we go.
Cricket Critchard is literally celebrating through the glass there that you're out.
Shut up.
Very angry. Right. Now, if I get this right, I win, don't I?
No, you're drawing, aren't you?
No, we're not drawing. If he gets this right,
wrong.
He wins.
Okay. Yeah.
If he then fails.
So if you get this right, you get 5,000 points.
Yes. Okay. Here we go.
Pretoria.
I've never heard of
it. It's one of South Africa's capitals.
Right.
One of its three capitals. Can you name the other two?
No.
Johannesburg?
No. I'm not.
And
Cape Town.
Yeah.
Well, wow, okay. I was literally shouting in your ear, Jordan.
I did history. I didn't colour in maps as a degree.
Probably a great deal of history involved in the fact that South Africa has three capitals, but anyway.
I don't pay attention to any of them.
Did Pretoria, if it does exist...
True.
Are you not going to listen?
No.
Okay, well, you're wrong. It wasn't called Horatio Town.
Doesn't matter.
Horatio Town. Right, hang on. So I can win
don't
it
care.
Here.
You don't care.
He belittled me on air.
Chance.
How dare he?
He didn't belittle
he
you.
He did. Belittled me on air. Not having it.
Well, right, Cal, as
Not
much as...
On.
As
come
much...
on then, mate. Carry on. Next question. Let's get it over and done with so we can get out of this section. Come on. Can't be bothered with this.
As much as the abuse continues, you could still win, Carl.
No, I can't. Not even interested.
You can.
Not interested.
And that would be to take over Posh Boy, so you'd be back in the game, really. You'd be closer to Johnny Sperling than anyone.
Come on, all right.
Chicago.
No one wants to be closer to
Chicago.
Johnny Sperling.
Chicago!
Did Chicago used to be called Fort Dearborn?
Oh. False.
I can tell you that that is true.
Oh, that hurts.
So that means that you lost by 1 point when you could have won by 4,999. Cal's the winner again.
And I missed the sitter as well, mate, because I was in a mood.
Cal's the winner.
I did have a little tiebreaker if anyone wants to have a go.
Yeah, I'll have a go. I'll take on Sperling just to ruin his day.
Okay, you could sacrifice your second place here, though, because this is now going to be worth second place.
I really don't care.
Okay.
Go on, Laurie. Go on.
I'm going to give you somewhere that name has changed. You just have to tell me the modern day name.
Okay.
Whoa.
Johnny, you might know this because you like your musicals. Yeah. First finger on the... What's the phrase?
Wherever the button is.
The buzzer. Finger on the button.
What's your buzzer noise, Johnny?
Saying, what's the question for
Johnny Burrow?
You have to tell me. I basically say a place. You have to say what it's now called.
Okay. Place
fastest finger first. Okay,
hang on. Johnny Sperling, what's your buzzer noise? Johnny Burrow, what's your buzzer noise? Oh, okay. Here we go.
Why would you make your buzzer noise wrong?
Because it will be.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Saigon.
Oh.
Saigon.
No, no buzzers yet.
Oh, that's so difficult.
No buzzers yet.
I only know it from Billy Joel.
You won't be locked out. You won't be locked out of your buzz.
You mean Saigon as in... Good night, Saigon. Great song.
What do you think? We've got no buzzers yet.
Do you like Miss Saigon, Cal? The musical?
Indifferent.
That's a good one. I thought you liked musicals.
I do like musicals.
I genuinely have no idea.
No idea.
Vietnam.
It's Ho Chi Minh City.
Ho Chi Minh. This is Love Sport. You've been listening to Bell and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.